one of the kinnas in Tisha B'Av. So there's a comment that Eich esmach od b'chag, Eich elozoz b'pur, something like that. How could I ever celebrate Yom Tovim after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed? Because as we read yesterday in Parshas Re'eh, so the Beis Hamikdash is an integral part of all the Yom Tovim. The Shalosh Regalim for sure, the Korban Pesach, the Avodah Yom Kippurim, the Rosh Hashanah. I mean, all the, there's so much of a celebration of the Yom Tov revolves around the Beis Hamikdash that the pipe and the kinos, he throws his hands up and he says, after the Beis Hamikdash, there's almost no Yom Tov anymore. Now, of course, we know Pidin. It's obviously not the case. The Torah says we have to observe Yom Tov and B'chomash Raseichem, Udar Raseichem, all the Din of Yom Tov in terms of Yisam Aloch and other things are clearly apply even Bizman Azeh. But there's no question that there are certain dimensions of Yom Tovim that are lost us Bizman Azeh. We only have the ability to learn about today. We don't have the ability to actually practice. So I thought there's maybe over the next couple of weeks, now in the beginning of the Yom Tov season, so if we try to highlight a little bit just what exactly the role of the Beis Hamikdash in terms of the celebration of the Yom Tovim, certain halachas that we no longer do have, certain halachas that we do have, certain things that happen as Mana Mikdash that still affect us out of Yom Hazeh. So we're learning basically in Yonah D'Yomim, that's the basic topic, but with an eye, a focus to those particular aspects of the Yom Tovim that were Mikdash oriented, that were Tisrol oriented, and to see how these play out Lemaisa today. Hopefully, this time of the, you know, in Klai Yisrael, there's so much, we need so much schus in terms of Eretz Yisrael, Yishalayim, and Mikdash. So this year will be a little bit more of an added bonus in terms of that as well. So we'll start with the first of the Yom Tovim of the season. We'll start with the Yom Tovim of Rosh Hashanah. So probably out of all the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah probably has the least to do with Beis Hamikdash. But by the time we finish the Shurim, we'll try to show that there's still a lot. Even Rosh Hashanah, which is not explicitly Mikdash-oriented, there's very, very much which is relevant in terms of Beis Hamikdash. So the first sugi that I wanted to talk about in terms of Rosh Hashanah and the relation of Rosh Hashanah and Mikdash is the impact that the Beis Hamikdash had on Rosh Hashanah, even Adayim Azeh. And that's in terms of the very notion of how many days of Rosh Hashanah there are. The idea of one day of Rosh Hashanah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and there it's a chusa, the whole balagan about the amount of days of Rosh Hashanah there are, is a direct result of a certain sense of clash between Rosh Hashanah and certain Mikdash considerations. So let's go all the way back to the beginning as to where in the world we ended up with 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, what in the world does that do with Mikdash, and how this plays out for us on the Maaseh B'zman Hazeh. So the sugya begins with the pasuk in Chumash. The Chumash is pretty obvious. How many days Rosh Hashanah there are? The Torah says it. Chodesh Hashvi b'yachad b'chodesh yilchem shabasam. It's one day of Rosh Hashanah b'deraisa. It's on the first day, of course, of the seventh month. The Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is by definition Rosh Hashanah b'deraisa. There's of course a very very big problem, just a technical problem in terms of observing the first day of a month as a Yom Tov, is that very often you don't know exactly that it's the first day of the month until it's maybe a little bit too late. What does that mean? So of course we know in the olden days, so the mitzvah of declaring Rosh Chodesh, any Rosh Chodesh, including of course Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, was supposed to be done al pi ha'ra'iyah. It was supposed to be done based on Eidim coming, witnesses coming and testifying that they saw the new moon. Chodesh is alechem, Rosh Chodeshim. So the Tereshim Mepet tells us, Chodesh Hazeh is a law, Hazeh is a Lashon Re'iyah, Kazeh Re'eh V'Kadesh. So the Torah is telling us that the declaration of Rosh Chodesh has to be specifically through the seeing of the new moon. The problem is that you can't see the new moon until later on in the day, most likely. So let's say it comes potentially, well, maybe Rosh Chodesh is going to be determined later on in the day. So let's say we know that every month has to have either 29 days or 30 days. How do we know that? Because we know the lunar cycle is approximately 29 and a half days, plus Chalachim here and there. So it's approximately 29 and a half days. And the Torah Shabbat comments, comments on the Pasuk, Ad Chodesh Yomim, that a month has to be made up of days. I mean, in theory, the perfect month would really be 29 and a half days. In theory, it should be every 29 and a half days or so should be Rosh Chodesh. We should declare Rosh Chodesh right smack in the middle of the day. So the Torah says you can't do that. Al Chodesh Yomim, a month has to be made up of days. So that, of course, creates a problem. If it has to be made up of days, but it's not exactly days, it's 29 and a half days. So the answer is that some months are going to be 29 days, some months are going to be 30 days. How do you know which is which? Depending on the Eidim. So the Eidim come to you after 29 days have passed since last Rosh Chodesh, so now it's potentially going to be Rosh Chodesh. If the Eidim come and say they saw the new moon, The problem is, it's already the 30th day, it's already the third day at night. Halakha day starts at night, so it's already the night, and it's a chance that it may be Rosh Chodesh, depending on whether the Edom come. So in a regular Rosh Chodesh, what's the big deal? So it is Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh, it's such a big deal. Rosh Hashanah, it's a big deal, because if the Edom come tomorrow, then Igloi Milsalam Afreya, it turns out retroactively that tonight was already Rosh Hashanah, and we weren't allowed to do Malacha tonight. So when it comes the night of the 30th day, 29 days have passed since Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we have to refrain from Malacha Misafek, because there's something that rises, maybe the Edom are going to come tomorrow. So now the next morning, so we're sitting around waiting for the Edom, so we're not going to do Malacha, we're going to blow Shofar, we're going to eat apples and honey, we're going to make believe that's Rosh Hashanah the whole day, to be determined. And what will happen? So about 2 o'clock in the afternoon or so, the Edom will show up. They'll say, we saw them in the moon, Bezin will interrogate them, Bezin will accept their raises and should, and we're home free. And then it'll turn out, Igloi Milsalam Afreya was Rosh Hashanah all along, and everybody's Shalom al Yisrael. Tomorrow is the second day of Tishrei, we'll count Yom Kippur, Sukkot, everything is Gevaltik, everything's great. That's what's supposed to happen. And that's the way it happened most of the time. But, 1 year, something went wrong. What went wrong? The Edom didn't come on time. So it's 11 o'clock in the morning, there were no Edom. 12 o'clock, the afternoon, no Edom. 1 o'clock, the afternoon, 2 o'clock, the afternoon, no Edom. Which in of itself is not terrible, because the Edom Taka may not show up. Maybe they won't see the moon the way they are. So if the Edom don't show up the whole day, so big deal. So then we'll declare that tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. We spent the whole day today in Shul Davin, so we'll daven another day tomorrow. Not so terrible. But what happened was as follows. So it came late in the afternoon, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Bizman HaMikdash, and the Bezin gave up hope. The Edom are most probably not going to come anymore. And so today is not really going to be Rosh Hashanah. Today is really going to be, today, Igloi Milsa is really a weekday. So they told everybody, okay, it's a week, they finished, Gemara, it's a weekday. And tomorrow, get ready for Rosh Hashanah tomorrow. What did they do? It was late in the afternoon. They brought the Korban Tamid. You bring the Korban Tamid in the afternoon. When you bring the Korban Tamid, so different days the Korban Tamid is brought, different Shiras Alaviyim are said. On the weekdays, Shiras are said. On Yontif, other Shiras are said. On Rosh Hashanah, a certain Shiras said. So they assumed that it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. It was a weekday. So they said they brought the Korban Tamid and they sang the regular songs and they closed up shop, tell everyone to get ready for a few hours, Rosh Hashanah, and Baruch Abu, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the Edom pop in, the Edom show up, so Bezin sell, the Edom here, okay, so now it's Rosh Hashanah. So now it turns out that we messed up the Avodah Zarah, we brought the wrong Shira, we did the wrong thing, everyone was a big balagan, everyone was upset, and the whole tatarab. So because of that mix-up, because of that whole chaos, so the Mishnah tells us, Masechus Rosh Hashanah, Masechus Sukkah, that the Chama made a takana. The takana was that once we bring the Korban Tamid in the afternoon, we will no longer accept the Edom to come anymore. That's it. Tell the Edom to go home. Don't come today. We don't want to hear from you. What kind of a din is that? If the Edom saw the moon, what do you mean tell them not to come? So there's a special din by Kiddush HaChodesh that even if the Edom physically saw the moon, if the Kolzman, the Bezin, is not makabel them, so the Kiddush HaChodesh is not going to be chal. It's not going to take effect. So they set up the scenario that we're going to keep the doors of the Bezin open until the Korban Tamid is brought. Once the Korban Tamid is brought, then it's over, finished, end the discussion. We don't want to hear from the Edom anymore. Adkan the Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah. But then, not Adkan yet, because then the Mishnah says, now wait a second. So now we have the following strange scenario. You have all day, starting from last night, we thought it's probably going to be Rosh Hashanah. Good chance it's going to be Rosh Hashanah. So we told people to stop doing Malacha last night. So they haven't been doing Malacha last night, they haven't been doing Malacha all morning. It's 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Bezin realizes the Edom haven't shown up yet, and they realize the Edom are not going to come anymore. Because even if they do come, we're going to close the door on them. So Bezin makes an official declaration, tomorrow is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow is going to be the real day of Rosh Hashanah. Min HaTorah, once the Bezin has closed up the door of accepting the Edom, then there's no way for today to be Rosh Hashanah. There's no way in the world today to be Rosh Hashanah. The Edom are not going to come, and even if they come, we're not going to listen to them. So it's going to turn out today is not Rosh Hashanah. So we were refraining from Malacha for the last 20 hours. So what? Big deal. It was Levatola. Min HaTorah, from here on in until tonight, we could do Malacha. You should really tell everybody at 4 o'clock, go back, open up your stores, get a few more hours of work in, because tomorrow is going to be the real Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Din D'Oraisa is. Once the Bezin gives up hope of ever accepting the Edom, then it's not Rosh Hashanah at all. It's not going to be Rosh Hashanah today, and Malacha should be permissible. But the Chachamim realized that that's a very, very bad precedent, because if we do that, so then next year, when we tell people on the 30th day of Elul, oh, by the way, today may be Rosh Hashanah, close your stores, So they're going to say, Rabbi, remember the story from last year. Last year you made us keep our stores closed for the whole day, and then 3 o'clock you told us to go open again. So we're not going to listen this time. And what's going to happen next year? Next year the aid were going to come on time. It's going to turn out that it really was Rosh Hashanah. Everyone's going to be Mechala Yom Tov Midaraisa. So therefore the Chachamim were concerned, once we told people to keep their stores closed for 20 hours, it's just a bad public policy to tell them to reopen it. So we'll tell them, keep them closed. Keep them closed for the duration of the day. Even though min haTorah, there's no real reason to min haTorah. It's not Rosh Hashanah. Mid the Rabbanon, we made it takana to keep the stores closed, not to work anymore for the rest of the day. And tomorrow is going to be midaraisa, going to be the real Rosh Hashanah. So comes the Mishnah, comes the Gemara, and the Seches Beitza explains that from here began the idea of quote unquote 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That means midaraisa. The whole idea of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah doesn't make any sense. There's only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, but midaraisa there's only 1 day. But midarabanan they instituted that you can have 2 days in this strange scenario when the Edom come late and we close the door on them. We have to keep the first day as Yom Tov midarabanan, and the second day becomes Yom Tov midaraisa. So this is the birth of the idea of a 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you think about it, this 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, this has nothing at all to do with Chutz Laaretz. This has nothing to do with Jews living far away from Eretz Yisrael. It's in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Everyone has this problem. Everyone has this idea of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we have to now take a little bit of a background to try to understand just exactly what this takana was all about, how this takana plays out this manazah, and how this whole story, this whole Mikdash saga impacts on us, the halach l'mais, in terms of our observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So first, let's just go back historically a little bit, just to understand what exactly the problem was. What really created the need for this 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says it was the fact that the Edom came late after the Korban Tumid was brought. And the big problem that happened was that they sang the wrong Shira. The Levim sang the wrong song. Because they sang the wrong song, therefore everybody got all upset. And this the Gemara calls Niskalkla Levim Bashir. Therefore, they had to institute this whole story, which led to the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So it comes Taisus on the spot and says that they don't understand the Gemara. This was the problem. Because the Levim sang the wrong Shir, that got us into a 2 day Rosh Hashanah because of that. We daven twice, look, got to find Chazana for 2 days, Rosh Hashanah, because the Levim messed up, because they sang the wrong Shira. Says, I don't understand. There's a much more serious problem over here. Why did the Mishnah pick on such a seemingly trivial point that they sang the wrong Shira? Says, Taisus, who cares about the Shira? The right Shira, the wrong Shira, no Shira. The Shira's not Akiv anyway, says Taisus. Why weren't the Tanoim concerned with a much more serious problem? If, let's play out the same scenario, same historical scenario. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we're still waiting for the Edom to come. It's 3 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, we're still waiting for the Edom to come. And we realize that they're probably not going to come. So we assume it's probably going to be a weekday today, tomorrow's going to be Rosh Hashanah. So what do? So we bring the Korban Tamid, Shol Dein Harbayim. That would be the next thing to do on a regular weekday. We did not bring the Korban Musaf yet, because the Korban Musaf can't be Musaf until you know that it's Yom Tov. So it's 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We decided the Edom are probably not going to come again. Before the Takon, the Edom are probably not going to come. We'll bring the Korban Tamid and Dein Harbayim and call it a day. And now the Edom popped in at 5 o'clock. So what's the first thing we should have to do? We should have to bring a Korban Musaf. So comes Tyson and says, you can't bring a Korban Musaf. Why? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim that after you bring the Korban Talmud of Bein Arbayim, the Korban in the afternoon, you can't bring any more Korbanos anymore. That's what's called an Isser of Hashlama. We say it in Korbanos, as we said. V'arachla ola victor lechel v'hashlamim, aleha hashlem kol ha-korbanos kulam. There's a din in HaTorah that all Korbanos have to be brought between the Korban Talmud of the morning and the Korban Talmud of the afternoon. So there's an Isser deraisa to bring Korbanos after the Korban Talmud of Bein Arbayim. So Frekta is the Kasha. Why is the Gemara drawing us a cup with the singing of the Levim? Nobody really cares about anyway. There's a much more serious problem of accepting Edom late in the day. The serious problem is, how can you do it? How could you bring the Korban Tumid and then turn around and bring the Korban Musaf later? So Taisus wanted to know, why weren't Chazal concerned with that? So we know on record that they instituted a second day Rosh Hashanah because they wanted to make sure once the Korban Tumid is brought, so the Edom don't come. But the Gemara picks on the seemingly trivial point, and the point of the Shir, which is not all that important anyway in Halacha. Why didn't the Gemara pick on the much more serious problem? You can't bring the Musaf itself. What's going on? So Taisus thinks and thinks and thinks, and Taisus says, the answer must be that you're permitted to bring a Korban Musaf after the Korban Talmud Shebein Arbayim. You're allowed to hide against the Fersha of Gemar, Fersha Pasuk. Allah Hashem Kochum Raskulum, it's an Isidir Isa. So it comes to us and says, it must be that the mitzvah of bringing the korban musaf is such an important mitzvah that it's docha, the isad yaraisa of bringing korbanos after the korban tamid. So under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to bring any korban after the korban tamid shemein arbayim, but the musaf would have been an exception to the rule. So Tosis, they're going back, Tosis sitting 2,500 years ago, back to the Beis HaMikdash and trying to make a calculation, what's going wrong in this Rosh Hashanah? We have a big problem with this Rosh Hashanah. We just brought the korban tamid shemein arbayim, and now the Edom just popped in, and we have to figure out, what do we do? So Tosis says, the only thing that can't be rectified is the Shira. That was the mistake, and that's the problem, that's the source of the whole dilemma. But in terms of the Korban Tamid, nah, Nishka Felix says Tosis. The Beis Din had no problem, the Kohanim had no problem bringing the Korban Musaf. Normally you can't bring Korbanos, Korban Musaf is different. And why is Korban Musaf different? So Tosis makes the following calculation, which now becomes relevant for us in other areas of Lach. Tosis says, there is a hierarchy in mitzvahs. I'm going to say something that may sound like it's against the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, but some mitzvahs are more important than other mitzvahs. Not all mitzvahs are created equal. So what does that mean? The Mishnah says, "Hevizog mitzvah kalki v'chamura." So the very fact that the Mishnah uses the term mitzvah kalki v'chamura indicates that there is a thing called the mitzvah kal and the mitzvah chamura. There are higher level of mitzvahs and there are lower level of mitzvahs. The Mishnah is just telling us that don't make the mistake when you keep mitzvahs, to only go for the biggies. I'm only going to go for the Shabbos. I'm only going to go for the big mitzvahs, chamuris. And the lower level mitzvahs, I'm not going to be careful about. So that the Mishnah says in Musar, in Hashkafa, in Hashavah, that's wrong. Because you don't really know which mitzvahs are going to have more schar and shemayim. But is there a halachic hierarchy of mitzvahs? Of course there is. There are mitzvahs chamuras, there are mitzvahs kalas, there are mitzvahs esed, there are mitzvahs losasei, there are chiyuvei karet, chiyuvei misa, chiyuvei malkus, lav shem b'maisa. There are a whole area of halacha called the hierarchy of mitzvahs. So it comes to us and says, if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, you have on the one hand a mitzvah to bring a korban musaf, and the other hand you have a mitzvah not to bring korbanos after the korban tamid is brought. So now you have a clash between those two mitzvahs. So it comes to us and says, the mitzvah not to bring korbanos after the korban tamid is brought is what's called a low-level mitzvah. That's a very, very low type of a mitzvah. That's a private time of a mitzvah. You personally, you, Ruve, don't bring a korban after the korban tamid. The mitzvah of korban musaf is a mitzvah shel rabim. It's a mitzvah on the whole community. It's a mitzvah on all of Klal Yisrael. So it comes to us and says, yavo esse shel rabim, whenever you have a clash between two mitzvahs, one is a greater mitzvah, one is a more important mitzvah, one is a rabbim, is a tzibadika mitzvah. A tzibadika mitzvah takes precedence over a yachidika mitzvah. And therefore, says Tosfos, it would taka be mutter to bring the korban tamid, to bring the korban musaf, even though the korban tamid was brought. And therefore, says Tosfos, that's what Chazal weren't concerned about. The korban musaf. They were only concerned about the mistake of the shira at the mincha time, but in terms of the bringing of the korban musaf, no problem. The musaf is doichem. Ad kan devir Tosis. So Tosis is guessing to try to explain away. They're going back in time. They're going 2,500 years ago back to the Beis HaMikdash, trying to figure out why Chazal weren't concerned about bringing the korban musaf. Why were they permitted to bring the korban musaf? So says Tosis, it must be based on esish rabbi being doich and esish yachid. So now Tosis, once they guessed and they figured out that must be the klal that's working here. So then Tosis says, oh, we can take this klal and start extrapolating and start using it and start applying it to other scenarios also. We just made up a new klal called esish rabbi. Overrides in Esa Shel Yachid. So Tosis says, for example, one of the most famous examples that Tosis gives is one of the most fascinating stories in Shas about Rebbe Elazar walks into shul. Nine people in shul. We've all had that dilemma at times. If nine people in shul, what do you do? So Bismana Zay start calling and start texting and trying to find somebody. So Rebbe Elazar, no problem. Rebbe Elazar had an Eved Kanaini with him. He freed the Eved Kanaini. That was his contribution to the Tzibur. He freed his Eved Kanaini to be mashed in the minyan. He made a minyan, they daven the minyan. Sounds beautiful, wonderful. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, how could he do that? There's an Issa, you're not supposed to free an Eved Kanaini. The Olam Bem Tavodu, called Meshachar Avda Ovebi Yesa. say. So Frech the Gemara, how could you be Meshacher Revit Kedaini? You're doing an Aveira. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah Shaini. The Gemara says, for a Mitzvah, it's okay. So there are two different, the Gemara appears in two places, in Brachos and in Gittin. So in one place, the Gemara just ends at that point. Mitzvah Shaini. That's the end of the story. But in the other place, the Gemara continues the conversation. The Gemara says, I've a Mitzvah be Aveira. Just because you're doing a mitzvah, you can't do an aveira. So it says the Gemara, mitzvah sharabim shiny. So what does that mean? That shachvatara that appears in one of the sugyas, what does it mean, mitzvah sharabim shiny? So Taisus quotes this Gemara and says, you see from here that when you have a clash between two mitzvahs, one is a mitzvah essay, sharabim, davening and minyan. That's so important. That's a higher level mitzvah. And you have a low level mitzvah, like not to be mishachir or ever kenani. It's your personal mitzvah. When you have a conflict between the two, so the higher mitzvah beats out the lower mitzvah. Tosfos says, and how do you know this? They're bringing a raya back from the story about Rosh Hashanah, from the fact that Chazal weren't concerned about bringing the Korban Musaf after the Korban Tamid. You see from here that a mitzvah sharabim is doecha mitzvah shel yochid. Ad kan divrei Tosfos. So Kopan, according to Tosfos, we understand what the problem was, why the need to close the Beis Din at the time of the Korban Tamid. The need was because of the otherwise confusion with the Shira, but there was no need to close the Beis Din because of the Korban Musaf. The show could go on. The Korban Musaf could have been brought. That would not have been a reason to stop the Eidim from coming. However, if we take a look at the Rambam, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam quotes the exact same story with one small change. The Rambam says, in the olden days, they used to accept Eidim all day, but one time a terrible thing happened. The Eidim didn't come on time. The Beis Din brought the Korban Tamid Shabbein Arbayim, and then all of a sudden the Eidim popped in 20 minutes later. And now the Rambam writes, now the Beis Din was in a dilemma because they couldn't bring the Korban Musaf anymore. The Rambam made up his own reason. The reason that Tosfos asked, the Rambam answers. So the Rambam says that they couldn't bring the Korban Musaf anymore. And Gaval, they couldn't bring the Korban Musaf, and they were in such a balagan, such a chaos, what to do. So at that point, they made a takana never to accept Eidim after the Korban Tamid. So the Rambam started out with the same story, that they used to accept Eidim all the time, came with the same historical conclusion that they stopped, but what caused them to stop was a fundamentally different reason. Whereas Tosfos just quoted the Gemara, because the Mishnah, Tosfos says it was a problem of Shira, and Tosfos explained away why the Korban wasn't the problem. The Rambam ignores the reason in the Mishnah and made up his own reason. The Rambam is a Pella. He's a Pella on both counts. Why does he ignore the reason the Mishnah gives about the Shira, and why does he have the right to make up his own reason? So many of the Achronim explain in the Shittas Rambam to a twofold problem with the Rambam. Why does he ignore the reason of Shira? Because the emphasis is that Tosfos has a good point in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that the reason of Shira is a very shvacha reason. That's really a very, very weak reason to change the halacha, to say we're not going to accept Eidim anymore because there was a mistake in the Shira. Tosfos asks the Kasha, Shira Salavim. Shira's not ma'akev anyway. If you bring a korban, you don't sing the Shira, you don't sing any Shira, forget about the wrong, you don't sing any Shira, the korban is still kosher. A Shira in a ma'akev is a korban. So how could that be a reason? How could you change all of Rosh Hashanah? You make 2 days Rosh Hashanah out of here for 2,500 years, but keeping 2 days Rosh Hashanah because there was a mistake in the Shira Salavi? Big deal. The Shira's not ma'akev as a korban anyway. So, come some Acharonim and say, if you look in the end of Masechta Sukkah, the Gemara actually quotes Machlokes HaTanoim, is the Shir Ma'akev or not? So there's one time it says the Shir is Ma'akev. So some Acharonim say, the Rambam was so bothered with this Kasha, how can you change Hukos Rosh Hashanah because of the Shir Salvim? It must be that Mishnah, that Sugya was assuming the Shir is Ma'akev. There's no way to explain otherwise. If the Shir is not Ma'akev as a Korban, why would you get so riled up about the wrong Shira? So that Tana must have held Shira Ma'akev as a Korban. But now the Rambam was bothered with the following problem. We don't accept that. We paskin like the Chachamim, like the Rabbim, that Shira is not Ma'akev as a Korban. So we're faced with the same dilemma now. So why did they change the halacha? Why did the Beis Din make it a Korban not to accept the Eidim? Bishlam, according to that sheet, we don't paskin like that Shira is Ma'akev, so I understand the reason the Mishnah gives. But we who don't accept Shira being Ma'akev as a Korban, so why did they change the halacha? So the Rambam had to go searching, because the Rambam paskins that the Shira is not Ma'akev, so the Rambam had to go looking, and he came up with another reason. And what was the grandiose other reason? Well, the other reason was the mix-up in terms of the Korban itself. That the Rambam held that you can't bring the Korban Musaf after the Korban Tamid, that's the problem.
According to that, why do we ever have one day regular Rosh Chodesh? No, no, the Rosh Chodesh is much more, there's no Asimalacha. So therefore, they never had to make it. They at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they never had to bother telling people, continue to be Rosh Chodesh the rest of the day. One of the words mean continue to be Rosh Chodesh. Say Baruch HaNav Shina. No, no, in the Chinami, no, no, no. So when it came the end of the, let's say, it came 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they decided, we're not going to accept the Edom anymore. So then they sent out a message, say, today is not Rosh Chodesh. So 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's not Rosh Chodesh. But in Rosh Hashanah, they had the problem, they couldn't do that because it's going to mess people up for the next year. So Tosfos and the Rambam both end up in the same story. They both end up in the same place that we can't accept the Edom after the Korban Tavid, which sets into motion the whole idea of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But what caused us to come to that conclusion is radically different according to Tosfos than it is according to the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, Taka, what was wrong with Tosfos' Cheshbon? Tosfos said, you're allowed to bring the Korban Tavid. He was saying, you're allowed to bring the Korban Musaf after the Korban Tavid. Obviously the Rambam held you're not allowed to. Why did the Rambam hold you're not allowed him? So, one of two possibilities. So, maybe the Rambam held that who said there's such a hierarchy in Mitzvah Shorabim, Bitzah, Esser, Shoyochid? Who said? Tosfos made that up. Tosfos made up that cloud that a Mitzvah Shorabim is Derech, a Mitzvah Shoyochid. What the Gemara about Rabbi Eliezer freeing his Eved, there were 25 other Pshatim in the Rishonim, what was going on in that story? That's not an ironclad proof to anything. So maybe the Rambam holds that the principle of Tosfos about Esser, Shorabim, Esser, Shoyochid is not true. The whole thing is not true. Or maybe one could say a razzle dazzle pshat, a fancy pshat with dasa Rambam. Maybe the Rambam holds that the reason why you can't bring the carbon musaf after the carbon tamid is for the following reason: this isser of hashlama, this isser of bringing karbanos after the carbon tamid in the afternoon, one could raise a fundamental hakir. What's the nature of this mitzvah? It's an isser in the Torah. Mitzvah in the Torah, Allah hashlem kol karbanos kulam. You can't bring karbanos after the carbon tamid shubin abayim. So what's the nature of this isser? Is this an isser b'fnei atzmo? There's an Isra Akrava. You brought the carbon tamid ready, now the base mixture is closed. You go ahead and bring a carbon, you're violating an Isra in and of itself. What do I say? No. It's not an Isra in and of itself. The Isra of Ashlama means that if you bring a carbon after the carbon tamid, that's a chisarn in the carbon tamid. The carbon tamid is supposed to be the opening and the closing show. Everything's supposed to be sandwiched between the carbon tamids. If you bring a carbon after the carbon tamid, that's a bittel of a dimension, of an aspect of carbon tamid. That's a bittel within the mitzvah of tamid. It's not an isser in of itself. It's not like eating chazer. It's that what you're doing is you're hereby negating a certain dimension of the carbon tamid. If the second shot is correct, then it turns out that the Isra of Hashlama is not an Esser Shal Yochid. The Isra of Hashlama is not a private Isra on you. The Isra of Hashlama, the Mitzvah of Hashlama, the Mitzvah of not bringing Karbanos after the Karban Tamid, is part of the Mitzvah Shal Rabim. So you can't do it. You're talking semantics. You're talking in circles. Let the Mitzvah Shal Rabim of Karban Musaf be Doiche, the Isra of Hashlama. The Isra of Hashlama is also a Mitzvah Shal Rabim. The Isra of Hashlama is also part of the Mitzvah Sat Tzibor. So one Mitzvah Tzibor can't be Doiche another Mitzvah Tzibor. If we can somehow pin down that the Rambam holds this way, that the Isra of Hashlam is not an Isra in and of itself, but it's part of the mitzvah of Korban Tavid, so then everything will be l'shittos, and then the Rambam will make a lot of sense. So we need a raya. So Reb Chaim used to sometimes say, you can bring rayas not only from what the Rambam writes, you can bring rayas from what the Rambam doesn't write. What does the Rambam not write? So in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, in the Tayag HaMitzvahs, the Rambam never quotes as a mitzvah, don't bring karbanos after the Korban Tamid. The Rambam quotes the din in Sefer Avodah, he quotes the Issa, it's an Issa deraisa, bring karbanos after the Korban Tamid, but he never quotes it as a separate mitzvah. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam, how can you forget it? The Ramban is in a Sogdus that Sefer HaMitzvah says, why is this not qualified as a mitzvah? So what's the answer? So the answer to the Rambam is, the Rambam holds, this is not a mitzvah, it's part of a pre-existing mitzvah. The Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs tells us, he doesn't count the different halachim, the different parts of a mitzvah as a separate mitzvah. So, Marshal, there's a mitzvah to bring a korban ola. So the Rambam doesn't count shechting the ola, and zrikas adam of the ola, and putting the chayav, putting the avarim on the mizbech. It's one big mitzvah called korban ha'ola. So to over here, there's one big mitzvah called bringing a korban tamid. One of the aspects, one of the dimensions of korban tamid is to make sure that the tamid starts the day and ends the day. If you bring a korban after the tamid, you will fulfill that dimension, that aspect of korban tamid. So therefore the Rambam holds, it's not appropriate to count it as one of the tag mitzvahs. If so, now we have the Rambam l'shitaso. Now everything makes perfect sense. The Rambam held, in Uchos Kiddush HaChodesh, that you cannot bring even a korban musaf after you bring the korban tamid, because that's one aseh sharabim against another aseh sharabim, and one can't push off another. So therefore, the Rambam says the real, true reason, the true historical reason why the Beis Din had to shut the doors at 4 o'clock in the afternoon was because they couldn't have been able to bring the korban musaf otherwise. So it's to protect korban musaf they closed the doors of the Beis Din. So now we have a running machlokes here between Tosfos and the Rambam. What exactly was the problem? Everybody agrees to two facts. Everyone agrees, as the Mishnah says, "Barishon ha'im kam edus kol hayom." Originally, they would accept the edim the entire day. That's for sure. Everybody agrees that the facts changed at some point, and now we're not allowed to accept edim after mincha. And everybody agrees it's that not being able to accept Eidim after Mincha that starts the ball rolling, that created the necessity for a second Erev Hashana, which we'll see as we go on, exists even at Eidim Hazeh. So everyone agrees to the first part of history, and everyone agrees to the end of history. The real question was, what happened on that fateful day in the Beis HaMikdash? Sometime, Bizman HaMikdash, we don't know when this happened exactly, sometime Bizman HaMikdash, there was a crisis, that the Eidim came too late, and there was some kind of a mess up, there was some kind of a problem, that the Beis Din couldn't figure out how to overcome this problem, and it was because of that problem that they made the takana that necessitated that the Eidim no longer come after Mincha, which starts the ball rolling over 2 days. So we have to isolate what exactly that problem was. So according to Tosfos, the problem was, as the Gemara says, the problem was Niskapa Levi'im Bashir. Why wasn't it a problem in terms of the Korban Musaf? Because the Korban Musaf can be Doicha, the Yisuv HaShlamah. According to the Rambam, what was the real problem? The real, true problem was not the problem that appears in the Mishnah. That problem was the Shalek HaLoch. That was a time that we don't pass in leg. The real, honest, the goodness, true problem was the problem of the Korban Musaf, which cannot follow the Korban Mincha. So we don't know what the problem was exactly, but there was definitely a problem. After the problem, we know exactly what the solution was. The solution was no more Eidim after Mincha. We know what that caused. That caused the creation of a 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So comes the Gemara Maseches Beitz, the beginning of Beitz, and tells us that this idea of having a 2 days of Yontif, this is not a foreign concept to us. You know, we all know, we live in Chutz Laaretz, so we've heard of the idea of 2 days of Yontif. But comes the Gemara and says, the idea of 2 days of Yontif, we call Sveika the Yoma, Yontif Shen Shor Golios, is conceptually very, very different than what's going on over here. Why is it conceptually different? Besides the fact that it applies even in Eretz Yisrael per se, why is it conceptually different? So comes the Gemara Maseches Beitz and says, it's conceptually different for the following. When we observe Yontif Hasheni Shel Golios, so Yontif Hasheni Shel Golios is observed based on what we call a suffix. It means it comes, especially back in the olden days, comes the first day of what's potentially Yontif. So we're guessing. We think it may be Yontif. It's probably Yontif, but we're not 100% sure. So we're observing Yontif today, the Torah Suffolk. Then we're turning around tomorrow and we're saying, you know, we're not really sure what happened. Maybe we were off by a day. So maybe today is Yontif. So the key word in Yontif Sheni is the word maybe. That we don't know whether today is Yontif. We're not sure whether tomorrow is Yontif. So we're going to play here. It's safe on all ends. That's how Yontif Sheni Shel Golios works. It's based on a maybe. It's based on a suffix. Yontif, quote unquote, lack of a better term, Yontif, I can't even call it Yontif Sheni or Rosh Hashanah, Yontif, whatever day of Rosh Hashanah you want to call it. The idea of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, there's no suffix going on. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Eidim have not showed up. We brought the Korban Tamid ready, and the Rabbanim are telling us, don't do Malacha today. For the next 2 hours, we're making a din with the Rabbanim, don't do Malacha today. Nobody has any suffix. We ask them, Rabbi, we can't do Malacha because you think it may be Rosh Hashanah? So the Rabbanim say, it's not Rosh Hashanah. We know with 100% certainty it's not going to be Rosh Hashanah until tomorrow, because we just closed the door on the Eidim for whatever reason. So we know it's not Rosh Hashanah, and we're still telling you not to do Malacha. That's a whole different ballgame. When the Beis Din is telling us don't do Malacha, even though we know with certainty today is not Rosh Hashanah, that is not a quote-unquote a Sveika D'Yom anymore, that is not part of the parasha of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, that's a different parasha of Lagamri. So it's that nuance, that fun. It looks the same, you know, to the person who didn't learn the Sugya, so what's the difference? 2 days Pesach, 2 days Shavuos, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Shemini Atzeres, and 2 days Rosh Hashanah. It looks the same, smells the same. This is 2 days, that's 2 days. The Torah said 1 day, the Rabbis are saying 2 days. It's not the same at all. Conceptually, it's very, very different. In one scenario, it's B'Torah Safek, And the other scenario is Tapatar Safik. It's that nuance of difference that creates the whole difference between Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in terms of the fundamental difference of Lamaisa between how we observe the two days of Rosh Hashanah in contrast to the Yetiv Shem Shogolia. So for Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll continue a little bit more about understanding a little bit more. Now that we got the historical, today was the history lesson, we got the historical history halachic lesson. We got the history lesson as to where the second day of Rosh Hashanah comes from. Now we have to understand on Mitzvah Shem next week just how it works conceptually and how it plays out in terms of Lamaisa, how everything ultimately revolves around the Beis HaMikdash. And then the fundamental question is, does anything change after the Churban? Because the whole second 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was a response to a Beis HaMikdash reality, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. So maybe one could raise the question, if the Beis HaMikdash isn't here anymore, maybe we have to go reevaluate the entire observance of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and see how that's going to play out. So we'll finish next week. We'll continue from this point.